Well, Columbus man leaves $35,000 egg salad out. Mother tosses it. Okay. I can hear my mother. Salmonella. You know, well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and Aaron Scott on drums, with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, Michael's in Westerville, Ohio for a Buckeye State version of the show. He welcomes Wildman and Discovery Digital host Coyote Peterson, plus all the Columbus news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who had to get a restraining order on Sloopy, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Yeah, Sloopy kept hanging on. I had to do it. So speaking of that $35,000 egg salad, though, from that guy in Columbus, I would like to mention my new book on Kickstarter, Give Me Your Money, it's called. And you can fund that. Anything is appreciated. Hello, Westerville, Columbus. The Twin Cities of Westerville and Columbus. Lahana. Dublin. You name it. Very great to be here. Thank you so much for our reception here. It's genuinely appreciated. And I'm thinking, you know, Columbus wants the Democratic Convention. I'm thinking right here. I'm thinking Westerville. I'm thinking Otterbein. We could easily get all the Democrats from around here in this auditorium. So it's not a space problem. It's just a will to do it. Be a feather in John Kasich's cap. As long as he stays on the outskirts of town, he's fine. Plenty of room here at this. Oh, jeez, I knew it was going to happen sometime. I just didn't. We don't do that in Wisconsin because it's too long, you know. How do you do it then? Takes forever. It's never been done, I don't think, successfully. I guess we're in Ohio then, is what that means. Okay. Oh, where was I here? Yes. Well, it's great to be here, actually. My people, this is at Reform, this is United Brethren, this institution. I don't know if you knew that. Probably wondering what that was all about. And my people are Reform United Brethren. It's Hasidic, but it's very similar. So I say, Zeh Gesundt to you for my people, the Reform United Brethren. Good folks. And you know, the production they had here the other, not too long ago, was not the first full Monty at Otterbein. It was not the first. I'm saying it was not the first. Is that what you're planning? Philip Otterbein himself used to occasionally take the air, as they call it, in those days. It was a spiritual thing, I guess. Not so much anymore. Then in the Olentangy, of course, for the Ohio baptism. Columbus, of course, is the bedroom community of Westerville. A lot of them make the daily commute to Mount Carmel Health on the bike path. In all the Westerville, Columbus, some of the Dublin, Gahanna, and Central Ohio news that isn't. Central Ohio's secession plan gaining steam, despite the difficulties of being the donut hole of Ohio, the Republic of Gahanna, could come to pass. The city of Westerville rejects a $526,000 bid for the Alum Creek Connector Trail after a guy and his brother say they can do it for $500 plus asphalt. But as far as the bridge, you're on your own there, because they don't do bridges. There was some peony trampling at the West Flora Garden Tour, otherwise resounding success. Over in Columbus, Joe Biden will take over as director of the Ohio State Marching Band. It's in the Constitution. Little known clause in the Constitution. He's the president and the head of the marching band in Ohio State. The band, of course, has been unable to make a formation since losing the director. They're just sad to see him wandering aimlessly with their instruments dangling. It's very upsetting. I wouldn't go over there at all. Now it's not sure. They had this big 75th anniversary sexualized Wizard of Oz performance they were going to do. Oh, Dorothy. So some doubt about that happening. Elsewhere, the first pit bulls. Now anyone not named Reynolds is banned in Reynoldsburg. Apartments in central Ohio are going high-end, which is right where the rents are going to get you. Columbus has a concierge now. Figures. Wendy's in Columbus is experimenting with 3D-printed burgers. Takes a while, but that pretzel bun is worth the wait, I'll tell you. It's about 3 days to do a pretzel bun. Ohio State research continues. It's a century-long battle to find a use for the Buckeye. Outside of showing them to people and throwing them to people and giving them to people. Some guys shellac them and they make, I don't know what they make out of them, but I don't want it. Some kid someday will be known as the Luther Burbank of the Buckeye. So that's the big hope anyhow. 1,000 uses for Buckeyes. You could make more Buckeyes out of them. The Westerville Community Plan is out now. It turns out to be just the opposite of everything they do in Dublin. Called controlled no growth, or something like that. I have no idea about that. The $125 million Columbus Convention Center renovation is for a giant Schwebel's wrapper over the sliced bread convention center. So that's why it costs so much. It's a big wrapper. The two ramps on 270 to Route 23 used in the movie Looper will be torn down, so it looks like no Looper 2, and I was looking forward to that. The woman and governor candidate Ed Fitzgerald's car actually was Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. Turns out. She was hedging her bets by being in the car with him. But when the polls went against him, she was out of there. Governor John Kasich now has an app which allows anyone with a smartphone to fix Ohio. Ooh, that's better. Unfortunately, the governor himself has a flip phone, so he can't use it. Oh, go on with you now. Even if you say the Ohio State, they get really PO'd. The Ohio State is heavily invested in drones and drone technology, which could be circling Ann Arbor before the end of the season. Could speed up the end of the season, actually. Several of the missing presidents have been found in the Longaberger basket. And I'll tell you, it's no picnic. I hate to open the lid anymore. There's another president in there. The eerie, toxic blue-green blob has oozed as far south as Willard. So it should be okay down here. That's not anywhere near here. And they say toxic, but you really have to eat a lot of sushi to get any effect from it. Let's see, where else is, what else is happening here? The 200th sighting of a bobcat in Ohio. That kicks in the automatic season, bobcat season. So you can shoot them now. We're going to lose some house cats, but it's worth it for the adventure. Just keep them in the house, you know. They're fine. Give them something to do. A nun, a priest, and Gordon Gee walk into a bar. Still haven't got an ending for that joke, but I got the beginning. That's the important thing. You know, he makes a couple of Jewish jokes. He's still working. Anyway. Urban Meyer will stay on the field at halftime and conduct the band. Make it work. It'll be a make it work band session. The Ohio State Buckeyes are favored this year, at least around here. But I don't know, Rutgers has a higher GPA. Come on, you know they do. Okay. We'll be interested to see who makes the butt kiss list this year. You know how you make the butt kiss list, don't you? Okay. Columbus is bringing in giant pandas to combat invasive bamboo. Invasive. It's Tina Singley in Worthington. She's planning this up. And she's a very sweet lady, obviously, so can't really stop her. The COTA real-time bus tracking system has located most of Columbus's buses in southern Indiana. There's this. Some angst has been reported in Powell. That's all they said. I wish they would have told me what it was. I could have helped. General feeling that the era of good feeling declared by Governor Kasich at the state fair was another sly joke. Like offering reporters his wife's cell phone number. Okay. I'll take that out then. That's really not appropriate, I guess. He did, though. Let's see. Oh, this correction on the Ohio State Fair Closing Act, it will be Jesus Culture, not Insane Clown Posse. This just in, Zulily to Gehenna. That makes sense to you? You're from here. Okay. Almost through with this. You're doing good. Thank you for hanging in. Big Darby Creek, big darn success story. And finally, boy, that got the best response yet. I'll do it again. Big Darby Creek, big darn success story. Wow, what I wonder what I just said there. The new bike route to go across the state of Ohio on the center stripe of the Ohio Turnpike, ladies and gentlemen. You guys can do it. That's all the Westerville, Columbus, Gehenna, Dublin, Central Ohio news editors, and thank you for having us at beautiful Otterbein and historic University. The Otterbein. Is Coyote here? There he is. He's back there. This is kind of exciting. You know Coyote Peterson? When he was a kid, he used to ride snapping turtles. And he blossomed and soon became Coyote Peterson, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now with all there is exciting in the world of reptiles and snapping turtles and gators and whatever else is a reptile.
How are you? Hi, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
A lot going on for you. So are you shooting right now, your new show?
We are. We're in the process in between locations right now, actually.
So a little bit here. Yeah.
It works out perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And what currently is the theme of what you're doing?
Well, the show that we're filming right now is called Breaking Trail, and it's for Discovery Digital Network's new channel called Animalist.
How cool. How cool. Yeah. So where will you be?
Oh, everywhere. Everywhere in the United States this season. We're filming some stuff here in Ohio, actually some stuff in Westerville at one of our Columbus Metro parks.
Really?
Yep.
Are there reptiles in the parks here?
Oh, yeah. Actually, our Columbus Metro parks are home to some of the largest common snapping turtles on record in the United States right now.
And are on the bike trails? Do they ever come up on the bike trails?
You may stumble upon a female that's coming out to lay eggs, but no, the males that live in the water, specifically the park, Blendon Woods Metro Park, we have some absolute monsters. There are some that tip the scales at 50 pounds.
50 pounds?
Yeah. 50-pound snapping turtles. They're pretty big.
Yep. Do people know this as they're bicycling through the parks?
I don't think a lot of people realize how large the snapping turtles are that live here in Ohio.
Yeah. Well, they must see them rearing their heads out of the water.
No, it's kind of crazy.
They got actually, in Scotland
no, because the males never actually come up out of the water. Like, all you'll ever see is this little tiny nose sticking up, so you have no idea there's this huge swamp monster. Like right there, lurking underneath the surface. So.
Is that true of a lot of your reptiles?
Yeah, they're so incredibly elusive.
Yes.
No, they don't show much. You really have to get into the environment to get close to these animals, which is why we're doing the show Breaking Trail, to get close to animals, get the cameras really close so that we can give you this up close and personal experience with some animals you may have never seen before.
And is that true about you, like riding snapping turtles when you were a child?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say riding, but it's more like I would try to catch them and they would pull me out into the water and almost drown me. But I was like 8 years old when I caught my first 40-pound common snapping turtle. And it was
What did you catch him on? Crazy. What did you use to catch one?
Bare hands, just bare hands, yeah.
You mean you grabbed them?
Yeah, you jump in the water, and you know, because it's water, there's algae on the surface, it's kind of like, all right.
Are you wearing a cup? Is all I want.
No, you know what? I don't ever wear a cup, and sometimes my producers are kind of like, do you ever think maybe you should wear a cup? I've been close to being bitten there before, though.
Yeah.
It has gotten very close.
Well, I mean, bait is bait. I mean, you know, it looks remarkably...
You can never be too careful. You can never be too careful.
Yeah, yeah. You jump in the water, and where do you grab them?
Well, hopefully you get the right end, which is the back end, because you get the front end, well, you may lose your fingers doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend trying it.
You grab the shell, or you grab the
tail? Yeah, well, people think you can pick snapping turtles up by the tail, and that's completely wrong. You can actually hurt the turtle by doing that. So, the carapace, which is the top of the shell, you grab the back of the shell, and you hold on. And when you're 8 years old, you hope that you can kind of get the turtle back up out of the water.
Okay, so you're 8 years old, and you got a 40-pound snapping turtle. You're holding on. Now what?
Now it's, okay, I hope I don't drown because no one's going to find me at the bottom of this pond in the mud. But luckily, I was able to kind of muscle him back up out of the water. And that's that moment where you're kind of like, okay, this just happened. Your hands are shaking. Yeah. And you scream to your mom, go get the camera. And, you know, she can't believe
it. Oh, so your mom is there for this?
Yeah, my mom.
My mother would not permit this.
Yes. Well, I asked permission if I could jump in the water and catch the turtle. And she's like, okay. Didn't really believe that this was going to happen until the moment that it came out of the water. So from that moment on, I was pretty much fascinated with animals of all sorts.
If you had a Jewish mother, if you were like Coyote Petrowski, you would have a whole different career. You'd be in law or legal.
Yeah, you know if this doesn't work out for me, maybe I'll just go that direction.
Yeah. And are you from here?
I am. Yeah. I am now. I spent most of my life up near Cleveland, grew up in a small little town called Newberry, Ohio.
Newberry.
Yeah, all right. Got some Newberry people out there? Yeah. We don't even have a McDonald's there yet, so it really still feels like you're from the middle of nowhere.
How's the reptile scene around Newberry?
Oh, fantastic. That's where all these reptiles are hanging out at. Yeah, there's ponds everywhere. You can find any sort of reptile you're looking for.
What do you got besides your snapping turtles?
Snakes. Safe ones, non-venomous ones. That's the great thing about growing up in Ohio. Yeah. Your mom doesn't worry if you just venture off into the woods. She knows there's no venomous snakes, you know, there's no bears. Well, some black bears now, but pretty much nothing that was really going to get me into trouble, other than the sink mud, but I never really told her about that.
Under the what?
Sink mud. Like, swallow you alive, sink mud.
Really?
Like, I've been stuck in mud just last weekend, actually. A week ago, right now, I was actually in sink mud this deep, filming a scene of how you get out of sink mud.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want? Well, we could switch jobs.
I was told something about, someone told me about this, or maybe I read it. The first thing to do is not panic.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst thing you can do. But I do that intentionally.
Nature tells us to panic.
Right, right. Well, you should never go into most of these situations that I find myself in anyways. If you were to have seen...
Yeah, don't do this, nature tells
us. Never in your right mind would you have gone into this mud to begin with. But, you know, I get in there, I work myself in real good, and then, you know, my camera guys are like, okay, you're going to be able to get out of that. And actually, last weekend, I was afraid...
So you did it on purpose?
I did it on purpose.
Just for the camera?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I do it for fun, too, but, you know.
Did you bring something here?
We did. We've got... Yeah. You guys probably want to see some animals, right? All right, so...
Wait a minute. It's not a snapping turtle, is it?
No, it's not a snapping turtle.
Yeah.
I think you guys thought that would be too dangerous. So we brought one of the most venomous snakes in the United States and another thing that could probably bite your fingers off,
too. Oh, how good.
All right, so you see how this is in a container like this, right?
Tupperware.
Yeah, Tupperware container.
Another use for Tupperware.
So this is Gator Dave, and he is kind of the expert that handles a lot of these animals.
You know this snake, Dave?
Okay, so you... Yeah. You've heard of a coral snake, right?
Yes,
right, coral snake?
Coral, deadly.
Deadly venomous.
Deadly.
All right, pick them up careful, Dave. Okay. They're not real aggressive.
No.
Not real aggressive.
Can you take it to wait, don't tell me? How about that?
Well, they're not like, they're not pit vipers, which means they don't have big fangs that they kind of can lunge out and latch onto
just
you.
Just grabbing it.
Yeah, just grabbing it.
Oh, my God.
All right, hand that to Michael. Yeah, here, go. Yeah, you want to hold it?
Oh, it's so attractive.
I promise you won't. You won't be bitten.
That's how attractive it is.
Do you want to hold it?
I don't want to die. But...
Okay. It's not really a coral snake, but it looks like a coral snake, and this is one of the species that people. It is absolutely harmless.
What about Sarah? Is she harmless too?
Really, you promised me.
Yeah, it is a Sinaloan milk.
There you go.
It is a Sinaloan milk snake. So a lot of people think. because it's red and black and yellow, it's a coral snake. Now, there's a saying that you can remember.
Wrap it around you. Wrap it around you.
There you go.
There you go.
She's very brave.
Sarah Nix and the snake. Now do a little bit.
He might freeze a little bit.
Soft. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. Drape it around your neck. You'll feel really good about it.
I would trust him before I would trust
any cat, especially any cat or any dog.
He likes her. That's the difference here.
He likes everybody. That's what's great about this snake.
Well, he's not fond of me.
He's super beautiful.
He's not familiar with me.
So, Michael, here's the saying you need to remember. So next time this happens,
yes.
You don't have to slide your chair back. You'll know it's not a coral snake. Red on black, friend of Jack. Red on yellow, kill a fellow.
I'm definitely going to remember that.
Red on...
Black on black, red on...
Well, you know, anytime somebody brings out a snake in a Tupperware container and tells you it's venomous, probably the smart thing to do is slide your chair backwards.
Very nice.
All right, so, Dave, what else do we have? Because this guy's fantastic and friendly.
Is this local?
No, this is not a local species, right, Dave?
Yeah.
No, it's Mexican.
Mexican, okay.
Yeah. All right. He likes tacos.
Okay.
His name's Angel.
Can he come home with us?
He can.
Yeah, but you're staying here.
I like him. On the bus. He'll be fun on the bus.
Yeah, 12 hours with a snake.
So
snakes on a bus. Yeah.
All right. So the next animal we're going to bring out is a little less safe, but still it's pretty... You guys know what this is?
It's...
Do you know what this is?
It doesn't seem to be moving, so I'm
no,
in favor
it's,
of it.
No, it's not. This is the skull of the American alligator.
Of the American alligator.
Go ahead, feel how sharp those teeth are.
Okay, I guess I can do that. Very sharp.
We actually just filmed an episode with the American alligator in the Florida Everglades.
Yeah.
We captured a 300...
Is there just one?
Where, in the Everglades?
No, they say the American alligator.
Oh, no, there's tons of them.
Okay.
Tons of them in the Everglades.
Like the Ohio State is just one.
Yeah, well, this one that you're about to see is the one.
This is
Darth Gator. Yeah.
Who booked this?
This is totally safe.
This is a real alligator?
This is a real alligator, yeah.
Watch
your fingers.
I just like to point out that he has a biting stick. Oh, God.
It doesn't want to come out. It's
okay.
You guys hear that?
Usually I have my snake hook and I forgot it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
you could use mine.
A little dangerous for Dave right now.
I want to make sure that we get the right...
Oh,
whoa.
Right. Oh, buddy. Yes, go right ahead.
This is such a good idea.
It's really big.
It's little, but it's big at heart. Hi.
And there you have it. That's the American alligator right there.
Yeah.
Not a good pet, just so you know.
What age would this alligator be? Is it a baby yet?
It's about 6 years old.
6 years old?
Yeah. They can eventually get 20 feet long. This is a baby.
And Darth is actually a rescue gator, so somebody got this alligator as a little pet in the pet store thinking, oh, wow, it's like a little dinosaur. That's so cute. Great idea.
We're not insured for this.
Not a great idea.
Is this an adult show?
I wouldn't pet that.
Whoa, it makes really weird noises.
Go back to your announcer. Shut up. Very nice. How old are you?
About 6 years old.
And they lived to how long?
They can
live 100
years.
100 years,
yeah. 96.
Yeah. Did some of them actually become domesticated? Doesn't look that way.
I mean, no reptile ever is truly going to become domesticated. Yeah. Darth is used for educational purposes, so he's used to seeing crowds of people. But again, still, it's never something you would want to get as a pet or if you saw in the wild, to approach.
They don't make good pets, especially if you have gerbils or something like that.
Well, if you were going to feed the gerbils to them, possibly. But
yeah.
He was actually found in an apartment that was abandoned in a guinea pig cage.
What?
He was found in an apartment in a guinea pig cage. That was all that was in the apartment.
Did he have a pass key? How did he get in the apartment?
Yeah, there was no guinea pig in there.
Very nice. Well, he probably wants to be going now, I'm thinking. But, what? Oh, okay. Very nice. They feel fine. It's just they look kind of scary. Sorry, really, to bother you. I know you got things to do. Thank you for coming. Very nice. Look at that, he's hamming it up now. Okay.
We get a big round of applause for Darth Gator and Gator Dave.
Upstage by Darth Gator and Dave. Thanks, Dave. Anything else? Or can I sit down?
That's all
now?
We've got for animals, but we can talk animals.
How did my chair get way over there?
Oh, yeah. Education through adventure. Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah. That is the goal of this show, Breaking Trail,
yeah,
is to bring these animals up close for the cameras. You know, we're trying to reinvent the animal space in a certain sense where, you know, we do go out, we capture things or get close to them. We try to be as gentle as we possibly can with any of the animals that we encounter. Things that are not safe to capture, you know, we just try to calmly approach the situation and film them without these zoom lenses. My camera team that comes into these environments with me, these guys are the ones that are extremely brave. You know, I get in there and do this stuff, but they also have to protect the camera gear and worry about themselves while they're trying to get all of these shots of the animals. So
And what are we hoping that people will learn, especially children, young people?
Yeah, just a real appreciation for the natural world in an up-close sense. Mm-hmm. You know, the education that we can give to the next generation of children and adults about animals. There's fantastic animal programming that's been on in the past, which, of course, has influenced my desire to want to go out and do this. Mm-hmm. And now it's really, how are we going to shoot this from a different perspective?
Yeah. Do you have a little crawler that says, don't try this at home?
Oh, yeah. No, we remind people constantly throughout the show, do not try to do what you see coyote doing, because a lot of the stuff is dangerous, but we take all the safety precautions necessary when we're doing this stuff.
Is it ever okay to find an animal, kill it, and eat it?
I mean, if you're going to hunt and eat for food to provide for your family, yes. I mean, yes, if you have the proper permissions to do stuff like that, I think that's okay. But we don't promote anything that's hunting or trapping of animals.
My dad had a friend north lake, north of Milwaukee, and he had the lake was in front of his house. So he'd go out there, stick a branch or something, mm-hmm. A thing would just bite it. He'd pull it out. He'd nail it up to a tree.
What thing are you talking about?
Skin it. A snapping turtle.
Oh, a snapping turtle.
Yeah. Skin it and say, hey, look at this. The heart's still beating. But he used to eat them and make soup out of them.
Well, I mean, turtle soup was something that
But it sort of changed my thinking about ever, doing that myself.
You know, the work that it takes to go through eating a snapping turtle nowadays, you might as well just go to the grocery mart and get a $5 rotisserie chicken. It's pretty much going to be the same for you.
Because they don't taste like chicken, though. That's a common misnomer.
You know, I think
nothing like
if chicken. You saw the stuff that snapping turtles were living in, you would never want to eat one anyways.
That's true. Yeah. Carp is a much better choice. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey,
Darren,
thank you.
When does the show air?
The series comes out, starts this September on Discovery Digital Networks, and the channel's called Animalist, and it'll be promoted all over. So you guys
Sounds
will be able to catch it there.
Coyote Peterson. He's afraid of nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Look for his show, Breaking Trail. All the shot here. Selfie. And a selfie with Dave the Snake Man. Huh? That just about pays the cost of your ticket, doesn't it? No? Okay. Getting closer anyhow. We're working on it. Lots to do here, lots to come, and that was kind of scary, actually. It's just kind of everything. That didn't scare you so much?
The snake was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Many beautiful things, though, can kill you.
It's true.
And I'm not looking at you and saying that. I'm saying. Okay, I am looking at you and saying that, but I didn't know meaning behind it. So, hey there.
Hey there.
How you doing there?
Good.
I notice you're up on your little...
I wouldn't say I have a phobia about
standing
snakes.
Standing on your bench
I'm
with your pants pulled up.
Yeah.
Very manly, I thought.
Oh, I didn't want it to slither on over here right up my pant leg.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you introduce our new band member here?
Well, we have a special guest today. Aaron Scott is playing drums with us.
Yeah. Aaron, you're local? Are you from here? Yeah, local boy, makes good. Aaron Scott.
He is the drummer in Columbus, so.
Yeah, excellent. And Jeff, I guess we all know Jeff.
Jeff Hammond.
Jeff Hammond, ladies and gentlemen. Brought his own bass all the way from Madison, Wisconsin. And, John Tooling, this song is...
Tintindale.
All right. The band.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, 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 oh.
Okay, we're having just a great time here. Most of it is off mic, though. So, how are you? Pretty good then, huh? Well, we had a great crowd here at Vine in Westerville. Did I say something about having a vestigial tail? Any of you know? Because I got all these cards asking how my vestigial tail is doing. And I don't remember. I might have mentioned it in passing. I don't actually have anything too large. What did I say? You recall? Can anyone quote me? Because I'd love to. What? Does it say something in there? What does it say?
It's in your bio here. You basically said you developed a vestigial tail. And you lost it, I should say.
Yeah. I had to pad the bio quite a bit. I really, not many accomplishments, so I threw in the vestigial tail. I guess that's better. Okay. Anyhow, it's doing fine. So Sheila Larson says, I was on the quiz a month ago, and you sent me a certificate for cheese. I was wondering if you happened to bring that with you. Do we have Sheila Larson's cheese? Do you bring any? I'm sure. How? It was a month ago, Sheila? Yeah. Okay. And you have your mailbox this morning?
Traveling here, yes.
Checked it every day since you won it on the air?
Certificate, but I had to come to Wisconsin. So I thought you were in Wisconsin and you were coming here. It might just be easier if you brought the cheese. Oh.
Take your certificate. Can you see if you can get this thing to work? Okay. That'd be helpful, actually. You have to take your certificate back to Wisconsin to get the cheese is the only thing. So it's really not even worth having. So I'm sorry. We should have gave you something else. You got them also, too? All right, this is good. Yeah. Can we... Maybe we get an engineer to do that instead of Sarah. Is that possible to see if we can get our little mic thing going? Yeah, here's some guys for you. Good guys. Yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Usually. So we're doing good here. Is there an engineer in the house anyway?
Oh, they're lunch.
What?
They're at lunch.
They're at lunch. Okay. Maybe come and do something with that thing there that's supposed to be sending the signals. Okay. Anyhow, that's that. Please be funny today. We drove 3 hours and my wife shaved her legs. That's them. It's the same couple. What is this thing? The Larsons from Flatwoods, Kentucky. What is it? Your show all of a sudden?
We're available for birthdays and bar mitzvahs.
You should have shaved your legs, man. You're the one in the shorts.
I've got a sandwich that's waiting for that cheese, so if you could...
We'll put it back out on it.
And to me, it looks like your sandwich can't wait.
Well, I...
for that moment.
I'm starving.
Yeah, okay, all right. I'm sorry. Shaved your legs. How do you pronounce P-A-T-A-S-K... A-S-K-A-L-A. That's pretty much how you pronounce it. Pataskala? Okay. Is that in America? United States of America? This country we're in right now? Is it somewhere near here? Here from there? Yeah? Pataskala?
Right down here.
Are you an American speaker? Do you speak American?
See.
How are your people in Pataskala doing?
Most of them don't know how to get out of town.
What do people do in Pataskala? What's the main thing to do there?
Thefts are down. Bank robberies are up. Nothing important.
Is it a farming community? Is it a...
It used to be a farming community. Now it's just a rural, you know, Columbus community. People come out there to steal things, though, but that's about the only thing that goes on.
So that's the place to go to steal something. What can we hope to find if we go out there to steal something? I mean, what in particular?
Oh, you can find lawn chairs. we have unusual mailboxes, you know, that most of them are made out of concrete, so when you run into them, your card gets demolished. Things like that.
Because... stealing the mailboxes, I suppose, or just knocking them down. If you put concrete in there, they can't do it, right? Is your mailbox concrete?
No.
Okay, I just wasn't. Have you thought about a concrete mailbox?
I've thought about it, but you know the cars when they get piled up in the front yard, they're hard to get rid of.
A problem, you're saying?
I only been hit twice in the mailbox by the wife of the chief of police.
We're going to get litigation here if I can.
I'm Dick Bennett.
And gentlemen, Pascal, home of the concrete. Okay, that means we got to play the quiz. I mean, we don't got to, but we should.
I figured, yeah.
Yeah, be a good thing.
We're having some microphone problems.
Oh, are we?
Okay. Quiz seems like a good choice.
No, I didn't notice that.
No, you didn't know. Yeah.
I thought that was me cutting in and out. That's kind of strange. Yes, if you come over here, we have to, who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz due to litigation we had on this point. We have. Hello? Today we have, and right now with the four disclaimers is, why don't you stand here, let's try that again. Okay, time for the four disclaimers, and with them is,
Victoria Frisch. One, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Two, it's a marching band. It's not a seminary. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its members, stations, or lackeys. Anyone who say otherwise is itching for a fight.
And your name will... Ah, Victoria Frisch. We're all going to be saying that tonight. That name is going to stick with you. Victoria Frisch, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see the hands of those who want to try the What the Quiz. It is fabulous. You're being fabulous. I saw that from you. Come on. No, here. Oh, yeah, come on, right here. A sweet spot. Found a sweet spot. And I found something to share it with. How are you?
I'm great.
And you are?
Paige.
Paige?
Yes.
You just use the one name?
Well, no, I have many.
Are you a dancer of some sort? Or?
No, I'm not. No, nothing but that, as you can tell.
Well, give me. Let's try it right here. Right here. That's great. Now, let's try it like this. Paige, tell me one reason you should play the What Do You Know quiz.
This was my birthday gift from my...
Annette, the wonderful mother-in-law. Paige, come on up here. You can't beat that. Good, dear. We're entering the What Do You Know stage here at Otterbein. We're up the stage now. The emu is sitting out in front here, I noticed. Paige,
okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Comfy.
I'm great.
So, what are you doing these days, Paige?
Oh well, I work for an ophthalmologist here in Columbus at Revision, and do some marketing, doctor relations, community engagement.
Doctors have relations? I had no idea.
Yes, it's great. Yeah. One of our doctors is here today too.
Really?
Yes.
That's exciting for everyone.
Absolutely. Isn't it?
I got an ovation.
I have to give.
Oh, there's a doctor here. An ophthalmologist at that. Are they really doctors, ophthalmologists?
They really are, yes.
They go to school for that?
They do. They're medical doctors.
Like a matchbook school or something?
No, it's not.
Because all I do is that eye chart thing, and they go... I mean, you got to learn that thing with all the lenses on. No, that's an ophthalmologist. It's an ophthalmologist, right?
Well, yes, they do that, too.
It'll take about a day to learn that, and then what else do they do?
Right. Better or
worse. They put drops in your eye, and you drive around like you're blinded?
They do good work.
No, very good work. I am
an Otterbein grad. I do have to give some talk.
Did you major in ophthalmology?
I did not. I am not a doctor, but no, I graduated a few years ago.
Can you get an ophthalmology degree here at Otterbein?
I don't believe so. You have to go to medical school for that.
Okay. What was your degree in?
Bachelor of Arts, sorry. I wish. Yeah. No, I graduated.
You know, I got a BS.
Yeah, you got a BS. I got
and
a BA.
It works for me. You know, I don't think it makes any difference. What I do obviously is not a science or an art,
right,
for that matter.
Right, right. Yeah. It's all about people.
But it was your main interest was what?
Sociology, psychology, and art.
Oh.
Did all of this.
Oh, very nice. You're very well-rounded.
And I played tennis.
Oh, you played tennis? Yeah.
I did.
Varsity?
Yes.
On the team?
Yes, yeah. I was on the team.
Yeah. Still keep it up?
Not much anymore.
No. Okay. Well, Paige, it's great to have you. You know this quiz works?
I sure do.
Okay. It works better than the microphone is what I'm hoping.
Right, right.
And so someone out there plays along with you by answering a question, but I guess we have to ask Sarah Nix here. Do we have a number?
Yeah, we do. People at home who want to play the quiz, they dial 614-891-4032.
4032. Is there an easy way to remember that?
There is not. Shall I say it again? I could say it again.
Yes, there's an easy way to say the numbers then.
Yes, 614.
Yeah.
891.
Wow.
4032.
Oh, you could do some of that phone stuff they talk about.
Geez.
A voice like that. Okay, what? Okay, 614-891-4032. Here is a qualifying question. It's from OSU Science. I got a lot of OSU Science questions. They do a lot of research in science. This is from The Ohio State, The Science. Ants are able to lift up 5,000 times their own weight, according to OSU scientists, because of their what? Or their whats, I guess it would be plural. Ants can lift all that weight because of what feature of their physiognomy? If you can say that about an ant, I'm not sure. Let's go to the phones right now. They are not ringing. Jennifer, here's Jennifer coming in slowly here. We have someone, nope, not Jennifer. It's gone now. Now we have Stacy, however, but she's moved to another phone. She's in Charlottesville, VA. So, okay. So Stacy is there. If I press this. Hi, is this Stacy?
Yes.
Hi, Stacy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
What are you doing right now?
Driving home.
Oh, you are? You're on the road now?
Is this, but I'm pulling over.
Okay, well, maybe you don't have to. I can ask the question. I'll find out. But oh, yeah, go ahead, pull over. It's better you pull over. Are you on a big highway or a small road? Or?
Small road.
Small road is good. Then just leave it right in the road then. Where are you going? You're going home?
Yes.
Where have you been? Where have you been, Stacy? What? Shopping?
Shopping.
What'd you get?
Kitty litter.
For this, you had to make a special trip?
Yes, it was clumping on the little kitty's paws.
Oh, it was clumping on the little kitty's paws. So they didn't have anything near you? You had to go make a big trip over this?
These are new kittens. Can't stop.
Oh, okay. Stacy, ants can lift 5,000 tons. I mean, 5,000 times their own weight. How do they do it? What part of their body actually supports all that weight? I'm sorry, better get back in that car and get that litter in there as quickly as possible. Not the legs. Thanks for trying those.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, okay, get back on the road there. Get, that litter is needed. It's got to get there. Steve's in Carbondale, Illinois. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve. Steve hung up in Carbondale, Illinois. He's got things to do. He can't be bothered with this. Scott's in Bexley. What? Oh, it's in Ohio. Yeah, okay, right. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. You?
I'm excited to be on. I've been listening to you for
years. Well, you're not on yet. I wouldn't be too excited. Now, the ant can lift 5,000 times its own weight, Scott. How does he do it? What part of his body actually is the one that's bearing all that weight?
I'm going to guess it's the exoskeleton.
Well, it's part of the exoskeleton. I mean, what feature of that exoskeleton or that physiognomy is bearing the weight?
Okay, well, not the legs.
Not the legs.
Maybe the back?
Did you say the neck?
Sure.
Let's try it again. What part of the ant's physiognomy It actually supports the weight when it's lifting 5,000 times its own weight.
I'm going to guess the neck.
No, I'm sorry. That's not it. Yes, that's it. Okay, we'll let you qualify then. Because you're from Bexley, and that's important to people here. Not to show favoritism. Scott, this is Paige. Paige, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Paige.
What are you doing these days out there in Bexley, Scott?
Well, I managed to get the yard work in before it started raining, so it's a good
raining.
Day so far.
Raining out there? What'd you do out in the yard? What'd you have to do today?
Oh, just the usual stuff, you know, killing the weeds, mowing the lawn.
People do that here?
People do that, yeah.
Wow, that's a really weird thing to do.
Even in Ohio.
Whatever happened to nature? Okay, Scott and Paige, you are a team right now. You collaborate. We have various categories, don't we, Sarah?
We do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Scott, what would you like?
Let's go with school.
School it is. Yes. Okay, here's a song I'm going to play for you right now. And I want you to, this song I'm about to play right now, engineering staff, I'm about to play this song. I want you to tell me either the name of the song or the composer of this song that you're about to hear right now. You know what? Yeah. Anytime. John is actually singing this. It's a little complicated.
Scott, you're all over this one, right?
Oh, I wish. I'm
good.
Starting
good.
To think I should have picked people.
Okay, you know it?
No, I have no idea.
I do not know it.
Okay, that's good. Thank you, engineers. You hit that one. Okay. Any idea? No?
March of Isle. I don't know.
Darling Nellie Gray by local Benjamin R. Hanby.
Okay.
Yeah, very famous, but not around here necessarily. He lived here, though, and that would be...
That's one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it. What's left?
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school. Oh, no, we already did that. Current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Paige?
Let's go with current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Yes, it is. Name two bacon innovations at Bubba's from the state fair this year. Two bacon innovations. He's always expanding his bacon lineup, Bubba's bacon.
I think I heard deep-fried butter. Bacon.
Yeah.
Oh, bacon.
Possibly chocolate covered on a stick.
Yeah, chocolate covered on a stick.
Okay, is it on a stick? Okay, that's fine.
And deep-fried bacon.
Deep-fried bacon? It's not an innovation, is it?
I didn't go to the fair yet.
Yeah.
Who's been to the fair?
Now they need one more bacon innovation.
Yep. On a stick.
They already said on a stick. It's chocolate bacon and on a stick. You're saying those are two innovations right there? Yeah. Two separate innovations?
Absolutely.
I was going to say chocolate bacon on a stick was one innovation.
Well, then you lose again.
Oh, well, I don't want to say that then, do I?
Let's call them as two innovations. Okay, that's good.
Yes.
Also, bacon popcorn is my favorite, though. That's a brilliant one, bacon popcorn. Bacon burgers, I don't know what else you got, bacon. Yes.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay.
Categories remaining are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Scott, back to you. What would you like?
People.
People it is. Oh, there's a person out there.
Okay.
How many Ohioans are unsure how they feel about LeBron? Ohioans unsure about how they feel.
Unsure?
Okay. Unsure. Is it 25%, 56%, or 37%?
I think it's on the low end. Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking low end, too. People either love him or hate him.
Right.
So you think it's not?
25?
I think 25. Unless it's 37.
Is he here? What was it?
They're talking about getting a license plate for him.
You said 37?
I'm thinking 37.
Why are you thinking that now? Because of something that he said out there?
I don't want to make assumptions for what I think. So I think there's probably more people out there that maybe
Well, could you make assumptions for what I think then? That would be wonderful.
What do you think, Michael?
37% it is then. Okay. 25% are favorable. Only 25% favorable. 39% unfavorable. So still a few undecideds out there, but it's rising, slowly rising.
Yes.
Yes. So that would be?
That would be two right and one wrong, and the categories left are places, science, or odds and ends for the win.
Places, science, odds and ends.
Oh, I got to choose again.
Oh, no. Is it Scott's turn? Yes. Scott. Did you choose last?
Oh, I don't know. Let's just go with
science.
Odds. Okay. Odds and we're science.
We're really on the same page here, aren't we?
Let's go okay. Odd science.
Odd science? We don't have an odd science.
Make it a wild card.
Here, I'll give you odds and ends. Okay. Right. Which is the happier, happy suburb? Is it Dublin or Westerville? From Muvoto.com. They both made the list of happy suburbs, but one was happier.
Well, this weekend it would be Dublin because of the Irish.
Dublin is
it
right!
Is Dublin.
Holy cow! Sorry, Westerville. Number one, number seven, though, both highly ranked happy suburbs. Holy cow, they won!
Paige, you and a guest will tour the best breweries, distilleries, and craft beer destinations in Central Ohio from Columbus Brew Adventures, then quaff that libation with a set of four beer glasses from a gal named Cindy Lou, return to sobriety with a teetotaler's gift set from the Blue Turtle Tea and Spice Company in Uptown Westerville, create a more authentic, sustainable, and joyful life with a career in personal development coaching session from Flow Forward, and achieve nirvana with a home-baked pie from Honeykiss Bakery in Columbus. Scott, your prize package begins with a wooden cardinal's ornament, holiday note cards, a bamboo rayon scarf, a cream-colored tote bag, and other goodies from Goodwill Art Studio and Gallery. Then indulge your palate with honey blueberry American ale jam made by Mixology Marmalades. Read Shepherd, a memoir, autographed by Richard Gilbert. Add flavor with mango white balsamic vinegar from A Twist on Olives. Look smart in a Cardi ball cap along with a Cardi travel mug and shot glass from The Spirit Shop, Otterbein custom clothing and sportswear, and savor a bag of Ohio chips, Columbus's original artisan potato chips. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
And Scott, hang on. We'll make sure we get a number from you and so we can mail it out to you. Thanks for playing, Scott.
What Do You Know returns to Monona Terrace for live shows beginning next week. Upcoming guests include commentator David Sirota, writer Patricia Marks, and film critic Michael Phillips. Ticket and full guest information is available at notmuch.com. Don't go anywhere. There's more fun from the Fritchie Theater on the Otterbein campus, including a soulful performance from Lydia Lovelace, plus another round of the What Do You Know quiz. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. I'm Stephanie Lee. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and Aaron Scott on drums with Sarah Nix announcing. In this hour of What Do You Know, we return to the Otterbein campus for more Ohio fun. Singer-songwriter Lydia Lovelace starts things off. Plus, inventions from Makerspace founder Alex Bandar, and fun with the ladies from the Columbus Food League, and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
And now, the man who, if he couldn't be a badger, or a Parisian, or an architect, maybe a really good dancer, would almost certainly be a Buckeye. It's Michael Feldman.
Got a Buckeye. Someone gave me one, so I qualify. Lydia Lovelace and her band are joining us now. She was named a new artist you need to know in 2014 by both Rolling Stone and Spin magazines. Lydia, how are you doing?
Good.
Are you Ohio born and bred?
I am.
Yeah. Farm girl?
Yeah, I grew up in... Well, outside of Coshocton, Ohio, in a place called Newcastle.
Yeah. What were you growing out there?
What's that?
What were you growing out there?
Oh, you know. Soybeans, corn.
Yeah. No, but what were you growing
everything.
Out there?
Everything.
I mean you, not the family.
What was I growing?
Yeah.
Up.
And is that where you got into music, out there on the farm?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Not much else to do.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And things are going great for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you touring as of now?
Not at the moment, for about a week and a half more. So.
Week and a half? Yeah, well, my tours go like that, too.
I'm kind of constantly in and out, so.
Yeah. Have you got a tour bus yet?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Is it tricked out?
Yeah, you know. Shag carpet.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
What's this first number you're going to do for us?
This one's called Somewhere Else.
Sounds great. Lydia Loveless and the band. Rockin' the Fritchie. Ed Otterbein. Lydia Lovelace. That's somewhere else from the CD of the same name.
Yes.
I might add. And I see you got, what has he got on here? Chris Isaac. Is he a song now?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
What was the inspiration behind that? Did you meet him? Or?
What's that?
Did you meet him and inspired that?
No, I met someone who wanted to be him. Who inspired a couple previous albums.
That's pretty cool. Can you introduce the band?
I can. That's George Hondroulis on the drums. That's Ben Lamb on bass, Todd May on guitar, and Pancho Pilot on the steel guitar.
On the steel guitar. That's a nice looking steel guitar, but they all look pretty good, but I must say that's a nice looking one there.
But
that set you back a few bucks for that thing, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you keep polishing it, I notice it must be expensive. That sounds great. It sounds a terrific sounding band. You guys are great. And the CD is out right now. It's on Bloodshot
yes.
Records, by the way. If you're not familiar with Bloodshot, and if you like this kind of music, you should check it out. Everyone they have on there is a great artist on Bloodshot. In Chicago. Out of mm-hmm. Chicago. Okay, cool. And so are you performing somewhere coming up here that people could go see you?
Our next local show will be at Scully's Music Diner on October 3rd.
Okay. So. Put it on your calendars. I love your voice, by the way.
Thank you.
You got a great country voice, and with the rock, whole rock thing, it's exactly everything I like.
Oh, well, thank you.
All at once. And Chris Isaac, too. I like him.
Him, too.
Got another one for us?
I do.
Okay.
This one's called Verlaine Shot Rimbaud.
Oh, Verlaine Shot Rimbaud.
It's our NPR song.
All you art majors out there, this is cool.
Verlaine Shot Rimbaud, 'cause I loved him so. Honey, that's how I love you. Oh. Everlane shot Rimbaud, 'cause I loved him so. Honey, that's how I wanna go. Well, I wanna love you like a father loves his son. Tell you it's wrong.
Lydia Loveless.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International.
It's Michael Feldman.
Alex! Oh, he's over here. Who is that out there? You got your brother up there or some cousin?
I was flattered to hear that a couple of our members at the Columbus Idea Foundry had already bought tickets before knowing that I'd be on the show. So I apologize to you guys. You already know the pitch. So come back next time.
Yeah. Or we can refund those. Alex Bandar, ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now from the Columbus Idea Foundry. A place where you can foundry your very ideas. And you got this is an excellent idea. Has this been being done anywhere else?
When I started about 6 years ago, I didn't know anyone else that was doing it. But since then, I've learned there's a term called a makerspace, which is...
Oh, yeah, makerspace.
Yep, a community workshop. And there are a lot of folks doing this, not as many doing it on the scale that we are. And yeah. I think that's a testament to how fun Central Ohio is and how much they want to make stuff.
Make stuff. Yes. Making stuff. Making stuff in Ohio. How does that yell go again, the O-H thing? Ohio! Well, yeah, that's it. What was that space before? Looks like a factory or warehouse or something?
Yeah, the Franklinton's a great neighborhood in Columbus, and it's on the up and up. Yes, yes. And we were invited by the Franklinton Development Association there to take over a 100-year-old shoe factory. We were doing this in another part of town.
What shoes did they make there?
It was called the Godman Shoe Company, but not sure what they did.
Godman only knows.
And before us, it was a motorcycle factory.
Oh.
So it's very industrial, well-suited for our particular brand of mischief.
Now, the idea is this is a place where you can take an idea you have and actually manufacture it there. And you got everything you need. What sorts of things do you have in there that you can use?
Yeah, so we've got everything from 3D plastic printers to laser cutters to blacksmithing. And I brought actually a few trinkets that we've done today that are kind of representative of that spectrum.
This thing here?
That's right. That's a 3D printed Yoda head. And
Is that a lot of fun? Yeah, interesting.
And we teach classes on all of our tools, and then we sell memberships. So think of a gym, but instead of working out, you build stuff.
Can you, is your 3D printer, can you do, like, body parts and things on that?
You can indeed. And there's some famous
stories.
Isn't
the ink really expensive for that, though?
it's actually not too bad. And
it's not?
In fact, one of our member companies makes their own 3D printers, sells them through Amazon, and they also make their own plastic wire that you use that for. So it's a little
bit
technical.
Like if you have a body part you're not that happy with, you could go in there and scale it up a little bit.
Come on down anytime, Michael.
Yeah. I'm not saying me. I'm saying I have this friend. This guy has been shouting out in the audience there, and he has his body part. He's not too happy. Anyway, no. So this was made on, how was this?
Yeah,
made?
So that actually, we have, like I said, folks who do technical things like laser cutting and 3D printing.
Did you make this just for me?
Oh, that was actually
our
blacksmith. He's his name is Adlai. He looks like he stepped out of a Tolkien movie. Big black beard, neck like a bull. And he's Jewish, and he made this Jewish throwing star.
Then it's all right. It's a throwing star? Oh, my God.
That's right. He's going after the lucrative Jewish ninja market.
Oh, man. I love it. And this?
That's a stainless steel pocket comb / bottle opener / keychain. So guys like me don't need that. Yeah. But
so someone had this idea. Wouldn't it be great if there were a stainless steel, whatever that you just said.
Pocket comb, bottle opener, keychain.
All in one thing. And so at the Idea Foundry, you can go down there and you can make that.
That's right. That's right. We helped a company do a Kickstarter for that. You mentioned them earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mentioned who?
Oh, Kickstarter.
Oh, I mentioned Kickstarter.
Your book.
Yeah,
Give me your money. I'd buy that.
Would you? I've got to put it on there now. I got to see what happens. I think it's going to work. Well, that's really cool. Now, what if you want to do? What do you say if you got this great idea for a 3-in-1 sort of stainless steel comb and bottle opener and whatever else you said it was? But you don't have the skill to do it. But you'd love to be able to. What then?
That's exactly more than the value of the tools. We've learned it's the community of people who are attracted to them. So artists and engineers, designers and fabricators, students and teachers. And we learned a little bit late that we're actually a social club with tools, not so much a community workshop. And it's the type of people who, if you have an idea and don't know how to do it, they're eager to tell you and share their skills. Not in a kind of bragging way, but they just like to marvel in this new, very empowering creative culture.
Yeah. Okay, but what if I don't know how to do it?
Well, if you don't know how, we'll show you. We'll do it for you.
That's what I'm asking. Will someone do it for me? I'll come in there and I'll pay for the ink.
Give us a thumbnail sketch. Give us a napkin. Just describe it in words, and we'll make it for you too.
Really?
Yep. Yeah. It's a whole lot of fun.
Is it going to cost me?
We're real cheap.
Yeah. So you may get all this great talent there to help you do something, maybe learn some of these skills yourself. And that's an amazing opportunity.
Yeah, a really bewildering and delightful community of people who just like to help other folks make stuff.
And are we getting an array of fabulous ideas coming out of there from the foundry?
We've had everything from, like I said, 3D printed Yoda heads to my friend Todd made an electric motorcycle that he actually demonstrated at COSI, at the local science museum here.
We've
got folks making consumer parts like the pocket comb. We have folks doing hydroponics and aquaponics. Programming, you name it, everything from fun, kitschy things to real business ideas.
Yeah. Have you had like a really big Kickstarter success
We've helped five or six companies run a few Kickstarters and made over $100,000 collectively for those folks. And I think you mentioned the potato salad Kickstarter guy too was actually a member of the shop, for better or for worse. So great guy, couldn't have happened to a better person. But he's actually a software guy. He started a software company at the Columbus Idea Foundry about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Spun out and has since found better things to do.
It's a matter of opinion, but still. And this, what is this device here?
This is our wrought iron toilet paper roll holder. So we try to be a living laboratory of all the things we've made at the shop. So
like for a Mediterranean restaurant or something like that, you go in there. This could be a problem, I guess.
So all the stalls in the shop have this on the drywall, and we also have a few desks and
Which way
chairs.
Does it go, exactly?
We'll put that just like that. Yeah. Toilet paper roll slides on like that.
And this, what is this supposed to do for
that's,
you?
That's ornamental.
It's really kind of a bad idea. I would like to speak to the author of this. They have that metal rod, this leaf sticking right up into your toilet paper arm. That's a good idea, though, I guess, in some ways. I mean, do people come in and make weapons and that sort of thing, too? Because that's a disturbing possibility.
Sure, you hear about 3D printed guns and things like that. But really, it's a good group of folks, no one's too mischievous. But we do have folks making unmanned aerial vehicles. My friend Gary's in the audience. He's doing that, too.
Drones.
Drones, that's right. That's right.
Where's the drone guy? Okay, I see you. Just want to know where you are. Stay where I can see you, man. Well, that's cool. So you're making drones and all that stuff. That's really good. Is this at all supported by state funds or any local funds?
I started it on my own. Yeah. My background is in computational metallurgy. And
what is that?
That's
complicated. What even is that?
It's a material science and engineering degree where
aircraft design?
Aircraft, automotive, consumer products, retail. Came to Columbus to work for a small tech company, and I wrote software for the metal forming industry. But my sister is a sculptor and a professor of jewelry up in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And one day she invited me to give a guest lecture to her art students. Mm-hmm. And I thought, new PhD, hard scientist, this would be fun and easy. And I got up there, and I couldn't teach them anything practical. And they were all better blacksmiths, welders, machinists than I was. They were all better makers. So if I had an idea, I could write a computer program about it. If they had an idea, they just made it.
Yeah.
And so it was purely out of jealousy and envy that I started the Columbus Idea Foundry.
Yeah.
Really wanted to learn how to use tools, really wanted a place to be able to do that, and found out that actually many of the skills you need are available for free online. You can watch a YouTube video on how to make almost anything from a table to a mobile app, and things like 3D printers, laser cutters, mean that you don't have to apprentice for years and years before you can make something practical.
Yeah.
So pooled tools, did it evenings and weekends while I was still an engineer for the day job, and thankfully there are enough creative and technically tinkering people in Columbus that it turned into a business.
It's cool, though, because you get people, a lot of brilliant software people and so forth. But then to take that and suddenly you're doing something tangible, something you can touch and feel and use and utilitarian or whatever, that's kind of cool. I hope that's a trend.
Yeah, and actually a large number of our members are IT people and programmers, and they're excited by what's called the bits to atoms phenomenon. So they've been able to write software, digital bits, and now they can actually control things like atoms, like the plastic that a 3D printer will make. So a lot of folks are interested in that. And
we could bring some of these people back down to earth, is what I'm saying. With all their amazing creative skills, that could be...
You know, you
quite
throw
something.
All that into one pot, people who are great programmers and who can make things. That's very exciting.
Everything
from toys to motorcycles.
Very exciting.
And we did grow as a grassroots organization, but started attracting some attention from groups like the Columbus Foundation, which gave us a grant to, actually gave the Franklinton Development Association a grant to help us build out the new space.
Oh, God. You're my star David throwing star. I'm sorry. It was very painful. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But or maybe I did. I guess I was subconscious, so I didn't. My mind was wandering, and I kept seeing the star. I'm wondering how you throw this without lacerating yourself. But
I left the sword behind stage, actually.
Really? There's a star David
no, there's
sword?
No, there's a three-foot sword.
That'd be
that
quite
was
a cut,
security.
Actually.
I was surprised they let me in the theater with it.
We have no security.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an amazing thing, and I love it. And are you working on a project of your own along these lines?
You know, I wish.
Do you have
I
a dream,
the shop.
Do you have a dream project?
Yeah, you know, in 6 years, I've made two things, which is pretty sad, actually. So I'm looking forward to getting the shop up and running so I can actually make some fun stuff.
Nice.
I made it's an Edison phonograph horn that plays streaming internet radio through a device called a Chumbi. And so it looks like a little Edison phonograph that plays things... fun music.
I like that. That's a good idea. What's the other one that you made?
It was a steampunk computer desk. So you take one of those old-fashioned desks with the flip-top wood and the hole for the ink and the chair attached, but we modified it to have a little LCD on the inside, a wood-inlaid computer with a big brass bolt for the on button. I like these kind of mashups of art and tech.
And for those of us who are not familiar with the steampunk movement, that means...
Things that look like they may have been made in the era of steam power. So 100 years ago, lots of brass, lots of lacquered wood, but they function. They have a high-tech purpose.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Alex, I want to thank you for stopping in and showing us these things and for what you're doing. It's a great idea, I think.
My great pleasure.
Columbus Idea Foundry, Alex Bandar.
Thank you very much.
Alex! Okay, I'm sorry, right here. Where is that guy? Anyhow, I keep jumping. Where is that guy? I keep jumping. Alex Bandar. Very, very cool. I like it. I like it. And it's the kind of thing to take us back into manufacturing, right? Ohio and manufacturing. This is a brilliant new future. You combine all these things, and you've got some really brilliant young people, and that's a good thing. Can only be a good thing. Okay. What do you think, then?
Yeah.
You want to play something, or
would
you rather not?
No, I would rather play something.
Okay. You want to do a change of pace on the classical?
No, not at all.
How about, you know, anything from Cabaret?
Yeah, this is called Blues for David.
Okay, sounds good.
It's a long-lost piece from Cabaret that they never played in the actual first show.
Yeah, they cut it out of Cabaret. I think we got a new microphone. Must be a mic rental somewhere near here. Darius Allard, does your show have an unofficial songbook? Like the band, all right, okay. I will say this, you know, you can't judge a marching band by human standards. You know, it's a different set of standards and stuff like that. I don't believe in harassing anybody, but it, among the, it's really hard to harass a band member. They're all into it and stuff. And I did see the University of Wisconsin Badger unofficial lyric book. And believe me, you guys got nothing here to worry about. And the guy let me see it, but he came and took it back really quickly. So, so I don't know. I say, I like marching bands. These kids are all right. What is a Higgs boson? That's one of those pipes that's curved and has kind of a porcelain bowl on the end. They're kind of ungainly to smoke. But that's called a boson. So, glad I could help. Do you think Smokey the Bear should retire from the Ohio State Fair? I think he's getting a little long in the claws there, Smokey. You know, they're supposed to replace him. Maybe we can do that at the Idea Foundry. Huh? Wouldn't that be a good project? Why don't you do Smokey the Bear? One that says something other than, don't start forest fire. Who's going to start a forest fire? Most people would not even think to start a forest fire. That plants the idea in their head. You mean I could start a forest? Yeah, just by careless with any... Just by a spark. Just to take a spark and I can start it. Well, see, that's what happened. Mike Collins. We saw Garrison in St. Paul. Peter Segal, as in Bagal, that's how I remember it, in Chicago, but had to wait to see you in Westerville. Oh, boy. Is that good or bad? They had to wait to see me. I don't know. It took a while for me to get here, I guess. Okay, well, thanks for that. Let's see what else we got here. I don't know. No. Band guy again. Gail Lavelle of Worthington. Are you accessible? You feel like talking or not? You're kind of in a fetal position. Yeah, well, would you come on here? That'd be great if you would, because if you step on people, they're not going to mind. When I do, they resent it. Hey, Gail Lavelle.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Is that French then?
It's actually Irish.
It's Irish. Lavelle is Irish. Yeah, I guess it'd be.
Yeah.
Have you been to the Irish Fest yet?
No.
No? When are you going?
I'm too much drinking, and so we just decided to stay home.
Stay home and drink at home.
Safer to drink. You're
too much drinking at home?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But do you have any of the Irish skills? Irish dance or Irish music?
I have known to clog at a wedding.
You have been known to clog at a wedding? I've clogged on the way home from a wedding. Pretty, you know, from overeating or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have the actual clogging shoes?
I don't, no.
You have to have special shoes for that, don't you?
You do, unless you're at a wedding and you've had a lot to drink.
Then you're up on a table and you can wear anything.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And what is your question, Gail?
My question is, why do they call them cheese curds?
Well, I think it's because they are cheese curds.
What part of the cheese does the curd come from?
The whole cheese comes from the curds.
Oh, okay.
You're kidding, right?
Yeah. I've heard about this thing in Wisconsin, and we don't know about it here. So.
Well, you get your rennet, and then you get some milk and stuff, and you got to get you gotta have a goat first of all. You got to butcher the goat, and you take I think it's the gallbladder, one of those organs in there. Get someone who knows for sure. You don't want to start out without. I always start things and not know how I'm going to do it. You know, that's why I should be at the Idea Foundry. And so I'll need a goat, and I'll need a lot of milk, you guys. And then we need, the rennet is what curdles the milk. Stop me if I'm wrong. Anyone actually want to get this wrong? What? Okay. Oh, have you done this? Okay. You've never done it? Okay, all right. All right, so kill the goat. Butcher it, and it's. How are you going to get his rennet? Otherwise, you get. It's an organ somewhere in one of the. Anyhow, and that curdles the milk, And that forms the curds. See those curds? They press them together, and that makes your cheese.
And a 3D printer.
Okay. And what do you pay for this a pound?
I don't know. What do you pay for cheese? It's just as expensive where it comes from, believe me.
Oh, okay. I got the idea that it was like a cheaper product in Wisconsin than the real cheese.
No, we eat the curds separately.
It's fresh, young cheddar cheese.
Okay. As far as I know.
Okay. Thank you.
Nice to meet you. I'm glad we cleared up some important questions. What? Already? I just had Gail Lavelle. I was just getting started there. You took up all the time, you guys, here with your shaved legs and your... And you want cheese for your sandwich? Not my problem. Jeez. Okay, so let's start another round of the What Do You Know quiz. In order to do that, we need a contestant. What? You know, I think it's got to be you. Because you were the only person really excited to see me when I walked in today. I mean, people were very nice, but you were excited.
I was.
And it made me excited. What's your name?
My name's Gina Calcamuccio.
Gina?
Calcamuccio. Gina Maria Calcamuccio.
Gina, you should be in opera, Gina. That's...
My baby sister is in opera.
How do you like that? So, Gina, give me one good reason to play this quiz.
Because I'm a big fan and I'm excited to go sit with you.
All right, come on, Gina! Maria Calcamuccio. Or something like that, yo. Come on up here, dear. To be here. Westerville. Okay. Gina.
Yes.
What do you do these days, Gina?
I work at Otterbein University.
Oh, you work at Otterbein. That's a coincidence. What do you do for Otterbein?
I am the senior strategic message and event strategist.
Oh, so you do nothing here. That's great.
I'm a big storyteller. I get to tell stories every day.
You tell the story of the university?
Yes. It's an incredible place.
Yeah. Oh, so you kind of like market the university.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And how's that going? Pretty good?
It's going great.
Yeah.
You can ask my bosses.
Yeah.
President, vice president.
Oh, they're all here?
Yeah.
Oh, what section was that there?
She's right in the front row.
Oh, hi.
Kathy
Crenshaw. Oh, that's right. I saw your picture in the paper. Okay, Gina, you do that, and then what do you do for kicks, Gina? You're not working so hard. I know you must work really hard doing that.
I do. I have an incredible daughter that I get to do lots of great things in her theater.
Yeah.
I sing.
How old is she?
She is 12, going to be 13
She's 12.
The end of the month.
Hi, dear. She's a singer?
She's a singer and an actress, and yeah, I watch my husband on television. He's a local reporter.
Your husband's a local reporter? What a talented family you have. He's like, you should have your own reality show.
Absolutely.
Do you consider having a reality show?
Yes.
Excellent. That would really be cool.
Crazy Italians. Crazy Italians I've known and loved.
Yeah, that'd be good. And do you sing as well?
I used to sing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And I used to do some voiceover work too.
Uh huh. And what do you do now? Do you go out dancing? Do you go out? Do you do? Well, for kicks, for yourself, for Gina, what do you do?
I love to cook. I love to cook and entertain for my friends
Excellent.
And family. I love to come and see great shows at Otterbein and other great places in Columbus.
Right. Gina, we're glad to have you here. We're going to play the quiz right now. Someone out there plays with you. How does that work?
People who want to play the quiz at home, pick up the phone and dial 641-891-4032. Oh, 614. 891-4032. Thank you for that.
Okay. And here's the question. What's on 1 Dave Thomas Boulevard in Dublin, Ohio? Let's go to the phones right now. Dana.
Hello?
Hi, what's on 1 Dave Thomas Boulevard in Dublin?
Wendy's, I would imagine.
Hey, yes, you're right. Holy cow, I got so excited. I'm sorry. I hurt myself. On Dave Thomas Boulevard. What are the odds of that? Actually having Wendy's on Dave Thomas Boulevard. Dana, what do you do? Are you in town here?
Yes, I'm in Columbus.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm looking for work.
Okay.
Background in commercial aviation and call center.
Okay. So I'll tell you, if we get any of those coming in here, we'll pass them on to you.
Thank you.
At
so
our
much.
Call center. Dana, this is Gina. Dana.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Dana.
There's a new program right there. There's something in that. I like the sound of that. So the two of you work together. You are a team. We have various categories. Do not we?
We Sarah. Do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Dana, you pick first one. What would you like?
Let's start with science.
Science it is. Here you go. Ohio State University, this was a sex study. And they said, Ohio State men think about sex every second, every 7 seconds, or every 10 seconds. Or all three?
I would say every 7 seconds.
I would say all of the above.
Yeah, all the above and seven. We'll narrow it down. That's right. That's what they found. 7 seconds. Okay. These are undergraduates. Come on. We're not talking about everybody. Just undergraduates. Okay.
That's one right and zero wrong. And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends.
Gina?
Let's do people.
People. You're a people right. person.
Absolutely.
You are most likely to curse if you are from one of the following states. Is it Ohio, Nevada, or New Jersey?
Oh, just because we're in Ohio, we'd be more likely to curse. What do you think?
It is Ohio.
It's Ohio. You beat Nevada, New Jersey. That's pretty good. Okay, but they're nice curses. They're not really mean curses. People are nice here. Okay. All right.
Two right, zero wrong.
Yeah. Okay. And what's left?
Current events, places, things you should have learned in school, or odds and ends. I think it's Dana's turn.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just like looking at you, Gina.
I should have learned in school.
Okay. Things you should have learned in school. Had you been paying attention, here it is. Where is Hoover Dam?
Do you know, Dana?
I think it's like just outside of Westerville.
It's near Africa Road in Lewis Center, and I pass Hoover Dam every day on my way to work.
That's it. You won. Congratulations. Winners. That was so easy.
Gina, you've won the beautiful Woodland Shade Bird Bath top and pedestal, handcrafted and blue glazed from Burley Clay. Then keep a toddler occupied with Crazy Aaron's Thinking Putty from Naturally Curious Kids on College Avenue in Westerville. Make a baby cozy with a onesie from Zen Kids Play Cafe, also in Westerville. Celebrate all things Irish at this weekend's Dublin Irish Festival with a stylish Ashworth polo shirt I can't talk with green shamrock logo, a solid pewter bottle opener, and a custom engraved Dublin Irish Festival beer stein. And finally, turn to Italian cuisine with dinner from Bravo Brio Restaurant Group. Data, start your grill easily with an F-bomb fire starter, which inexplicably comes with a greeting card from Shift Studios on College Avenue in Westerville. Then keep your trinkets in an antique basket along with an I Love Westerville button from Westerville Antiques on State Street. Favor your sweet tooth with a box of Henry London chocolates made in Ohio since 1922. Peruse the August issue of Ohio Magazine. Keep your diamonds and rubies bright with jewelry cleaner from Morgan's Treasure Custom Jewelry in Uptown Westerville. And look sharp in a hat from Shelly Lou's Lids. And reflect upon a resin cat with mirror from Captivating Canines on Westerville's Main Street. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Gina, ladies and gentlemen. Dana, hang on.
Go
make
Cardinals.
Sure you get that. Go Cardinals! Where'd that come from? I didn't see it here before. You know Elizabeth Lesner. You know Betty's. You know everything. You know Ohio on a hot dog. You know everything she's doing. Would you welcome, please, Liz Lesner, ladies and gentlemen, on our stage here. Restaurateur and member of everything that goes on in food. Oh, boy. Geez, what'd you bring here?
Are you ready for some kitschy food? I hope so.
You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, we got a lot. And behind me is Carmen. She's my business partner, and she's going to get you guys drunk.
Oh.
That's what we do in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
We don't have an ocean. We don't have a beach, so we drink drinks out of shark glasses.
Yeah. That is a shark glass, isn't it? What is in that shark glass?
It's pretty potent. We don't want you to have more than one.
Uh-huh.
If you want to last to the show. Right. We had a spill. What is in the shark glass? Is this the Surly Girl or the Surly Temple? You are drinking a zombie bride. We serve that at one of our restaurants called the Grass Skirt.
It's strong but delicious.
We only, if you come and order one, you're only allowed to have one. We won't serve you more than two.
What happens at two?
I don't know.
They get unruly?
We'll have to ask Carmen. She's had more.
The good drunks get good, the bad drunks get bad,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, so.
Very nice. Betty's is gone now, right? You closed
that is correct. We are a restaurant group of eight. Betty's was our very first. We were in the... Thank you.
I'll have a bite of your hot dog.
All right. He is eating an Ohio on a hot dog. Mm. It's a little messy. This is a really special hot dog because Oprah put it in her magazine for July, which was National Hot Dog Month. So the Ohioanas from Dirty Frank's Hot Dog Palace.
Delicious.
It's one of our biggest sellers. Ohio didn't really have a hot dog. We do chili dogs, but we wanted to make a Columbus-based dog. So that's it.
Was it just time for Betty's to shut down?
It was. Well, you know what? We're in a neighborhood that was quickly getting bigger and more awesome. Yeah. Betty's was known for comfort food, mac and cheese, and meatloaf. And if I wanted to stay in the area, I would have had to raise my prices quite a bit. So we've decided to close up shop. And
what happened to all the stuff on the walls?
Well, that's a good question. My husband, it's kind of a sore subject. It's in my living room right now.
And that includes pinups from
there's various... There's pinup art. There's a 14, or maybe it's a 12-foot swordfish. It's kind of big. We live in a small two-bedroom house, so it takes up a lot of room.
Yeah.
A lot of kitschy junk. Quite a bit. We might have a garage sale. Would you guys come if we had a garage sale? Awesome. Because it all came from a garage sale. So I'm really lucky. My mother's a really avid garage salist, and she picked up quite a bit of that. Those are finds that we created throughout the years. Also, my business partner sitting here with me, Carmen Owen, she helped me find a lot of that stuff, too, that junk.
Yeah. Now,
we'll take the swordfish at Grass Skirt.
Okay. Grass Skirt will take the swordfish.
Yeah. Oh. It was very good.
You like it? Yeah. Carmen created these drinks. Will you say which they are? Because I
always there. Yeah, you created all these.
I had one, and I can't remember what any of the drinks are now.
Yeah. So in the shark glasses, those of you that are drinking those, watch out. Those are zombie brides. So that's
zombie
some
brides.
Lime, cardamom, rum, 151, fresh juices, and you can only have one.
I just drink them. I just drink them for the juices.
This is why they scheduled us. We're at the end of the show for a reason. Mm-hmm.
And then in the pair of glasses, you guys get some rum and happiness. So
rum,
a little happiness. Delicious.
It's her secret potion.
Very delicious. Now I understand that you're involved. It's about not in every restaurant. I'm slurring.
Half a drink. It works.
We're involved in all of the restaurants in town here. But the Chintz Room is a new.
It's an old. Who remembers the Chintz Room?
It's a revival of something that was a tradition here.
Almost every city had a department store in its downtown, and department stores are sort of downtown department stores are sort of going away. It's a little bit sad, actually. I'm originally from Chicago. There was one there. Every city had one. Well, here in Columbus, we had Lazarus, which is a beloved name. We had the Lazarus department store downtown, and inside the Lazarus department store was a restaurant called the Chintz Room. I actually took etiquette classes at the Lazarus.
How'd that
when
go?
I was about 10. Well, I opened a restaurant later called the Surly Girl Saloon with Carmen here, so I think it went well, right?
Yeah.
But our
partial success.
For graduation, we would have to eat at the Chintz Room. That was like our big test. We had to sit properly, like I'm not doing now. And, you practice all your manners at the Chintz Room.
Sit properly once. Let's see how that looks.
I don't think I know how anymore. I think it involves a book on your head. So you didn't have a book. I haven't read a book in a long time.
How do you read it when it's up there?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
So you took etiquette lessons then?
I did, yeah. They didn't work, obviously.
Did you have a coming out and all that sort of thing?
I'm not gay. Is that what you mean?
No. No, I meant, debutante thing.
Although I did win Columbus's best gay restaurant one year, but no, I did not. We don't do debutantes here. We're not Midwest. No.
Well, I thought the etiquette was part of it, like a because debutantes got to take all that.
I think we do homecoming queens, right? But that would involve going to school, not skipping school, so that wouldn't have worked for me.
You didn't go to school much? Or
I skipped school a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you out, just getting restaurant ideas?
Yes, restaurant ideas.
Well, the whole thing.
Cigarette ideas.
Do you
alcohol.
Come from a restaurant family, or how did you get into the restaurant?
I don't actually. It's funny. My family's in the audience now, and my father especially was a little less than pleased.
Less
he's happy now.
Less
than
pleased.
Yeah.
That you're on the show, or that you went into a restaurant.
Both.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
What was his business?
Insurance. So I
oh, yeah, you should have gone to insurance. I could, you're much I better off if you go to
we're an insurance town.
Because then you'll always have insurance.
And,
nothing
you know,
else.
The restaurant failure rate's pretty high.
And insurance, it's pretty high, too, actually.
High, too. They get a lot of my money. It's, you know, paying the mafia.
Yeah.
But the good thing about Columbus, Ohio, is we have a really thriving restaurant industry. I was 27 and able to start my own restaurant here.
Yeah.
A lot of young people are.
Now, you're 27.
Why do you think...
I'm going back in two or three years.
Yes,
so you're 27, and you think, why do you think I want to start a restaurant? Have you been hanging around with restaurant people and chefs and that sort of thing?
Well, Carmen and I used to drink a lot, and, you know, the bar tabs, they get...
used to.
So this is all about Carmen, really. Why? I should be talking to Carmen.
Well, we used to drink a lot, and it got to be expensive. So, yeah. And we're spending that much time in a bar. Why don't you just own the bar, right? Was that the thinking?
You're here so often, you might as well buy the place. I mean, and you thought that was literal or something. You took it literally.
Yeah, we did.
But did you study as a chef, or did you study?
I didn't study ever.
Didn't study.
No. Carmen did. She went to graduate school. She went to Ohio State, graduated, went on to graduate school. I didn't do any of those things. I just was in the bar getting ideas, research and development.
Did you study any of these arts?
Anthropology is my degree. So whatever you
That's
can do
stretch.
With an anthropology
That's
degree.
That's a stretch, I guess.
Well, no, customers are like chimpanzees.
Yeah, I deal with primates all day. It pays better than an anthropology job.
If you can handle a monkey, you can probably run a bar.
Yeah, undoubtedly, yeah. When they start throwing their feces, though, it's time to...
There's less poop throwing in the bar business.
It's
but
less
yeah.
poop
still
throwing.
Still some. Yeah. Projectile
vomiting, that's sort of similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
We're close to Ohio State.
I have a feeling this interview is getting away from me. I don't know why. Get rid of that feeling you're doing an interview and it's totally out of your control. That's okay. And I don't mind because this zombie is making up for it.
That's why we give him a drink.
Yes.
We can take it where we want. Now, we also brought you some spam tacos from one of our newest restaurants called the Grass Skirt Tiki
spam
Room.
Spam taco. So that's a Hawaiian favorite, right? Spam is really...
No, it's Ohio.
But I mean, spam is very big in Ohio.
Yes, spam is big in Hawaii, and we're frying it to make it even more healthy for you.
Yeah.
And creamy crab dip on top of that. So,
and cheese.
Yeah.
We do cheese. We like Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Thank you, Liz. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Us.
Thank you, Westerville. Thank you, Columbus. Thank you, Dublin.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Lydia Lovelace, Coyote Peterson, Alex Bandar, and Liz Lesner. This is Stephanie Lee, hoping you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.